All right, good morning, everybody. I'm going to open up this formal session of the Board of Commissioners on February 26th at 10 a.m. Commissioner King, you want to lead us in the pledge?
The United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Appreciate that. Thank you. Calendar session is up next. Is there any changes from the commissioners?
None.
Nope.
None? Okay. Public comment. So if there's anybody in the audience that would like to give public comment at this time, we're going to ask you to raise your hand. We are aware of three that I'm going to call on Commissioner Starr to call you up. And if you're online, raise your virtual hand. Commissioner Starr.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, we do have a public comment, Chair.
Oh, come on up. Name and address, please.
Hello, my name is John Linder. I'm at 836 Northwest Wintergreen Drive in McMinnville, Oregon. I am running for County Commissioner, position one. I would ask this board to reconsider their removal of the transportation corridor from the transportation system plan, taking a section or any section out of the middle of this transportation corridor is like removing a piece of fiber optic cable in the middle that goes to your house. It makes that corridor worthless. It reduces the value of a public asset. You cannot take out a piece of this and have it be valuable. This removes the option for future generations to use this asset for the benefit of the county. It puts the new owner in an extortive position to basically extort the county for their own use. Selling this is a breach of fiduciary duty, which you as a board have a duty to consider. It is not in the interest of the constituents of your county. This is a public resource. The Newburgh-Dundee bypass right-of-way acquisition cost $75 million to acquire. Are we going to give away the right-of-way, which we own, which we bought, for what? So that some private party is able to have something they don't own? Are you going to sell it at a bargain price? What is the role that you're planning to do here? This is mismanagement of financial assets. It is prioritizing private interests over that of the public and ignoring the will of the majority of working families. It's corrupt, and it signals to everyday residents that their long-term interests are secondary to the concerns of donors. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Linder.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Commissioner Starrett?
Yes, thank you, Chair. Since I became a commissioner 12 years ago, I've had the privilege of attending the what we call drug court, but it's the adult recovery court. And it started out with Judge Collins. And I was led to believe that this is one of the oldest drug courts in the country. And it's been amazing to watch some of the recovery that goes on in those rooms, to see the graduations, to see the blood, sweat, and tears of those who've gone through it. And I just wanted a little bit of an introduction, because oftentimes we don't realize all the wonderful programs that Yamhill County has, whether it's substance abuse, mental health, behavioral health, all of the things that come together. If you were to look on our website, you would see page after page of all of the different supports for mental health, behavioral health, substance abuse. And one of the most, I think the jewel in the crown is the recovery court. I also sit on the Adult Recovery Court Policy Committee and able to hear Judge Wiles, who's becoming, who has become the judge since, I believe, 2022, to hear them talk about some of the policies and how they're going to make things more effective for those who really do want some help in this area. I also want to thank Michelle Tabor, the treatment court coordinator, who has been able to put all this together, but I wanted some real life stories of folks who have gone through the program, who have walked through the fire and graduated from the program. And we have with us Luke Johnson and Cody Richardson, just to share a couple of minutes about your experience, your strength, and the hope that you have for others who are coming behind you in recovery. So I guess you could look at this as your 12th step in sharing some of your information and how you got here and what you've been through. And if you want to just give us your name and your address, and you've got a mic there. So
my name is Luke Johnson. My address is 549 Southwest Fellow Street, apartment number 6. Hi, I'm Luke. I'm an addict. I found out about drug court through DHS, actually. I committed some offenses and was in jail. And previously, I was in recovery in 2021, and I had a DHS case. And DHS navigated me through recovery then, and then they found out that I had relapsed and I was in jail. So they came and talked to me, and I've heard about drug court, but I never knew what it was or what it all entailed. They came and explained it to me, and they said they were going to advocate for me to get into drug court because they believe that would be a good place for me. So they branched out to Iron Tribe and had Iron Tribe come out and talk to me, and they're the ones that advocated for me beyond DHS to get me into drug court. I then talked to Amy Hamilton, did an assessment, and got into drug court. I've had a lot of negative comments from a lot of people in the community about how hard drug court was and that it's impossible. And to be quite honest with you, this may seem kind of crazy, but it's really not hard. If you want a change in your life, it's easy. I mean, the structure is there for a reason. It's very rigorous, but that's because we couldn't do that in active addiction. You know, we couldn't have a schedule, and so they're teaching us how to live good lives. There's a lot of classes that we do. I've learned a lot about myself. I did IOP in 2021, which is kind of the same classes. However, they're not as intimate as in drug court. Drug court's very intimate. They really get down. They call your bluffs. They want you to dig deeper. It's been an amazing experience. I'm in phase 4. I'm about to graduate April 6th. I don't know. I can't say anything bad about drug court at all. It's been an amazing experience.
Thank you.
You know, the peer support and the guys, it's a really solid group, and I love it.
Good supports. Thank you. Thank you for sharing your story. Thank you.
My name is Cody Richardson. I live at 814 Southwest Cedarwood Avenue here in McMinnville. It's the Serenity House. It's one of the clean and sober houses here in the community. I'm one of the newest members in the drug court program. I've been in for about 3 months, and I have 4 months clean and sober today. I've already moved on to phase 2. I've gotten through the program with no hiccups so far. I was in a pretty bad spot. I couldn't stop using. I got a couple drug offenses and was looking at a pretty lengthy prison sentence. And with working with like Michelle and my attorney, Abraham Hansen, they were able to come up with a deal and give me a chance, like an opportunity to either change my life completely or go spend the next few years in prison. And I've taken advantage of that opportunity as much as I can, and gotten to clean and sober living. We do groups 5 times a week. It's a peer-driven program, so all the guys in our group are really tight. We hang out of group, and you know, we hold each other accountable. I'd say that the two most important things about the program are the accountability and the peer support. And so, yeah, we do group 5 times a week. We see the judge every other Monday. And I'm a huge member of AA in the community that I also do. And, you know, now I have a great relationship with my son who goes to the high school here in town. Have a healthy relationship with my girlfriend. I'm the assistant manager of Serenity House. And I just recently got a job at McMinimum's here in McMinnville.
So nice.
Life is good.
Wonderful.
Fantastic. We really do appreciate you guys coming down and sharing your stories with us.
Yeah, very helpful.
Is it fair to say you guys would be in prison or in jail without recovery?
Court? Yeah. I have a 55-month suspended sentence right now. Yeah. So.
I had 46 or something.
46 months. How much was yours?
55.
55. And you guys got jobs and you're working and able to see your kids. And that's amazing. Good work, guys. And keep up the day by day. I know it's hard. But I commend you. The hard work is worth it.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks for coming down this morning. And Michelle, thank you. Michelle's like the, she's kind of the mother hen. She kind of keeps everybody on the straight and narrow. But I know Judge Wiles, he's not afraid to say, hey, listen, when somebody messes up, to sanction them.
Yeah, it's all about honesty. If you're honest, you'll get a lot more grace. And if you aren't honest, then they, you know, don't think you're taking the program seriously and you'll get in a lot more trouble. But so far, neither of us have had to worry about any sanctions, so plan on keeping it that way.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you,
thank
guys.
Thank you so much. We'll take care. Thanks, Michelle. Thank you for coming.
Comment.
I think there's one.
Thank you. We have one more public comment, and again, a reminder that anybody online, raise your virtual hand. Good morning and welcome. Name and address, please.
Jack Vining, 14825 Southwest Heading Hills Road in McMinnville. Just a comment. I'm a retired physician, ER physician, and I can tell you that addicts either end up dead or they finally get their act together or they end up in prison. So that program, I think, would be something to really give a shout out to. So very good. I just wanted to stop off to kind of give you guys an update on where we're at with our road and bridge. I sent you guys an email, and I know Mark Lago is kind of looking into it, and I don't expect any decisions or anything from you guys for until you get all the information in. And I assume that this is the appropriate time to speak to you about this. But as I implied, our bridge has access to our subdivision with about 45 property owners. So it's a fairly significant, critical access to our development. The bridge started having concerns about a year ago in that it crosses Baker Creek, runs north and south, and Baker Creek goes east and west underneath it. And on the west side is where the upstream comes through, and it started having some erosion into the upstream bank a little over a year ago. And we tried to address that, and we worked with the Department of Forestry and Fish and Wildlife, and we had a sort of a plan to address this, which was a fairly nominal expense at the time. And then at that point, it was decided to get other agencies involved, and we got the Army Corps of Engineers, the Oregon Department of State Lands, Fish and Wildlife, as well as DEQ all on board, and recently had a engineering consultant come out. And it looks like to me this is going to really balloon into quite an expensive fix. The erosion is starting to punch bowl a little bit upstream from the bridge. And there's the only thing that's kind of protecting the integrity of the road butts up to the bridge is this little island of trees and soil. And it isn't going to take another atmospheric river before it starts to intrude on that. And so I do know that, and I think you have the copy of the memo that was generated back in 2006 from the Yandel Council at that time, John Gray, that addressed our road and is designated as a local access road, which means the property owners are responsible for any repairs or maintenance. And I don't think anybody's going to expect the county to take this road over. It's not up to county standards. We acknowledge that. But it'd be nice and helpful if the county could somehow come up with some financial assistance or even help in the repairs or stabilization of this part of the waterway. The consultant we had out said that the permitting process could run anywhere from $20,000 to $30,000 just for the permitting process of getting approval and then the repair on top of that. So this could easily run into the, you know, triple, the six-digit figures for repair, which is well beyond the financial capability of our neighborhood. So if at all possible, we would certainly like to have some help from the county to help stabilize our bridge so that we're not cut off from all the services that the bridge and road supply. One thing that might help in considering this also is how you guys define owner maintenance for our road, which would help maybe kind of get more people in the community on board with sharing the financial responsibility of the repairs. That's the other thing that we have is that we have a number of people who decide that they don't need to participate or be responsible for the repairs, since they benefit from the road but don't want to share the burden. So that's basically what I wanted to bring to your attention today and just kind of introduce myself, let you know what's going on in our neighborhood, and see what kind of help you guys may be able to offer us. So thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
I would just recommend keep working with Mark. He's fully well aware, and we've definitely all seen the emails. So
great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If there's any other public comment, raise your hand. Seeing none, all right, we're going to move on. E is department updates. There are none. F is work session. There's none. G is the consent agenda. Looks like we have some reappointments to RIAC and one reappointment to budget committee. I would make a motion of approval. Is there any further discussion?
None.
None.
None. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. H is old business. There's none. I is other business. I1 is consideration of approval of amendment number 1 to agreement number 184790 between Yamhill County and the Oregon Health Authority, Board Order 25-038, reinstating health-related social needs, HRSN housing benefits retroactive to November 14th, 2025 through July 30th, 2026.
Chair, I move approval.
Motion's been made. Is there any further discussion? None. Okay. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. I2 is consideration of approval of Amendment A to the IGA with the Yamhill Soil and Water Conservation District Board Order 24-360 for the Shared Native and Invasive Plant Specialist position, increasing the not-to-exceed amount from $50,000 to $53,000 effective March 1st, 2026. I would move approval of this. Is there any further discussion?
None.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Number 3 is the consideration of approval of an ordinance in the matter of amending the Yamhill County Transportation System Plan to remove the Yamhillis Westsider Trail Project, setting the effective date. And if we're all in agreement, that Caleb could read this by title only.
Objections.
The first reading.
Okay. I will now read ordinance by title only, in the matter of amending the Yamhill County Transportation System Plan to remove the Yamhillis Westsider Trail Project, setting the effective date. So our second reading will be 13 days, so that will be the March 12th.
Okay. And we do have just a couple clerical errors on page 15 under goal statement. Roads is spelt wrong. Okay. And then on page 39, under paragraph 3, third word should be The.
Okay. Yeah, we can
And with that, I'd like to add on to this a little bit and just read the first page of this so everybody's clear and we have full transparency on what we're doing here. The Board of Commissioners of Yamhill County sat for the transaction of business on the day that the findings are done. The board adopts the following findings, whereas the county originally adopted its transportation system plan TSP in 1996 via ordinance number 605 to satisfy the mandate under Oregon statewide planning goal 12 that all counties adopt a TSP as part of their comprehensive plan. And whereas as required under OAR 660-12-0150, ordinance number 605, contained a list of transportation projects that the county expected to bring to fruition within 20 years. And whereas in 2012, the board adopted ordinance number 880, amending the county's TSP to state county support for a rail with trail, informally called the Yamhill-Westsarah Trail Project, the trail. And whereas the county amended its TSP again in 2015 via ordinance number 895, and incorporated new and restructured transportation policies and goals, including an objective to support the development of the trail. And whereas the county amended its TSP again in 2018 via ordinance number 904 to further describe the county's efforts taken to construct the trail. Whereas ordinance number 904 was appealed to LUBA and remanded under LUBA number 2018-061, and whereas in response to LUBA's remand, the county repealed ordinance number 904 and attempted to approve the trail on remand under board order number 19-94, but LUBA again remanded the county's decision under LUBA number 2019-047, and whereas the county made further attempts to approve and develop the trail under board order 20-25, which was also remanded under LUBA number 2020-032/033, with LUBA ultimately finding the county's conduct in pursuing development of the trail was so egregious that LUBA awarded the petitioners $47,533.43 in attorney's fees and expenses. And whereas the county tried to reapprove a conditional use permit for the trail under board order 20-164, and reauthorize a trail bridge development contract under the board order 20-178, but both decisions were again remanded under LUBA number 2020-066/67. And whereas the common theme in each of the failed LUBA appeals was that the trail did not demonstrate that it met the farm impacts test under ORS 215-296. And whereas on October 2nd, 2025, the board adopted board order 25-325, directing the planning director to initiate a legislative amendment to the transportation system plan to remove all support for the trail and listing the trail as a future transportation improvement. And whereas on December 4th, 2025, the planning commission conducted a public hearing on the proposed legislative amendment under docket number G01-25. And the Planning Commission unanimously recommended that the trail be removed from the county's transportation system plan. And whereas on January 22, 2026, the board conducted a public hearing on the proposed legislative amendment under docket number G01-25, which was continued until January 29, 2026, at which time the board voted 2-1 to remove the trail from the county's transportation system plan. And whereas the board finds that it no longer wishes to pursue the trail because it does not believe that the trail can successfully pass the farm impacts test in ORS 215-296, among other legal defects, and the effort to attempt to do so has been both expensive for the county and divisive in the community. And whereas the board now wishes to appeal ordinance number 880 and remove the reference to the trail in the TSP, and now therefore, and then the board ordains from as follows. So just a little bit of heads up on where we're at with that, and I look forward to the next reading to this. So thank you very much for that, Caleb.
Thank you.
Chair, just a quick on page two, there is another typo. The word trail is spelled trial. That's one, two, three, four, five, six paragraph down. So we'll go ahead and make a note of that.
Yep.
But thank you for the 14 years of retrospective of how the county has tried valiantly to make this happen, but it couldn't be done. So thank you for that.
All right. And with that, we are going to move on to a public hearing. Ken, do you need me to open up this public hearing, or is this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a mass gathering permit, okay. But it's a hearing.
So we're going to open up this public hearing at 10:25 a.m., and it is J1, is consideration of a mass gathering permit application for the 2026 Wildwood Music Festival event on June 19th through the 21st of 2026.
We'll just see if there's any comments.
Is there any comments for the, is the applicant here? Okay. Do you want to say anything? We like hearing about our boat races, so.
I am Katie Vinson, and I'm not sure if I'm supposed to state my address.
It doesn't hurt.
Okay. 695 Southwest Pioneer in Willamina. We were able to, last year was our first year back after kind of a pause and disruption of location from COVID. And that was really a triumph in itself just to you know, bring it back again. But it was a lot of return attendees and things. And it was just a really wonderful time, even though it rained almost the entire event. So to have a good time, I mean, I felt like it was nice to get it out of the way. Just like, well, that's one fear and chalked off the list. So, but everything went really well. Everyone was peaceful and happy. And we are looking at where we sold 350 tickets last year. We're looking at increasing it by 50 just to kind of like see how, you know, see how that feels. But there seemed to be plenty of a space for everyone to gather, and it went really well. So.
Okay, great.
Uh-huh, yeah.
All right. Thank you very much.
Again, I'll go
yeah,
back.
You bet.
Thank you.
If there's anybody online, raise your virtual hand. All right. I close this public hearing now at 10:27. And so what would you like from us? We just need to give you... What's that?
Yeah, so if the board's ready to take action, you can move to approve, and then we'll come back with the permit.
Okay.
We have to talk about the fee.
I don't know. Was there a request that, remember, that's for the boat?
Right, I understand, but.
I don't know if there was a request for a fee waiver or anything like that.
Have you requested a fee waiver in the past?
Not the entire fee, but I believe it was reduced to
250. Everything but 250. Can we double check on that and just make sure? I think it's everything but, was it 250? Yes. So waiving everything but the 250.
Okay.
If the board is okay with
that. Is that your motion?
I just want to make sure that you want us to waive the fee. Okay, great.
Okay. Well, I'd make a motion then for the gathering permit for the Wildwood Music Festival Event Center, approval of that with waiving the fees down to $250. You're welcome. Is there any further discussion?
None.
Excited for you guys.
All right. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you and congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
With that... brings us to K announcements. Commissioner King.
Last week I attended a briefing on the disaster declaration for the storm that we had this winter in Yamhill County. As part of that is requesting $200,000. That storm affected several counties, and the total request is just over $8 million. Which is just above the minimum amount to request from the federal government. No action was taken. Place is more of an informational meeting. I spoke at the Lions annual conference this last weekend. Over 130 people were were there in attendance of 30 plus clubs from our district. And here in Yamhill County, 7,000 kids have been served for vision screening, and 19% of those kids screened they've found some sort of abnormality on them. So really a great service that they provide to our schools and our kids. And I had shared a story that I know a kid that third grade, she didn't realize that she couldn't see that far. She didn't realize, and she couldn't read. And so because of these screenings, her parents were able to get her some classes, and almost immediately was able to start reading. So it was really, that service is really amazing that they do. I was asked by a constituent to join Mayor Bill Rossacker and Will in some early discussions about PCC in Newburgh. He's raised that $3 million in taxes to PCC for up in Newburgh, and their attendance is very low. It's only about 152 registered students in that, and most of that is in English and second language. So that property is being very underutilized, and so some big concerns. And I reached out to Shemeketa just as a point of data that how many students from Newburgh and Dundee are headed down to Shemeketa, and it's about 148, I think, is what they had said. And so very close numbers. And so I'm interested. Mayor Rossacker and I are getting a meeting with the governor's office as they've are kind of digging into some options for that. So I'm happy to keep you guys updated. Something that I think that should be remedied. Those numbers are too low for what we're paying for. Monthly meeting with Jessica Beach, mostly just about budget issues and grant cycles and so on that are being changed and how that's really affecting their world. Willamette Workforce Partnership yesterday had a hospitality discussion. John Olson and I are going to invite the hospitality industry to a conversation that really mimics what they've done in other industries, to talk about gaps and hurdles and just around workforce in all areas, whether that's restaurants or even engineers in the hotels to maintain the property and the equipment that goes along with those, to wineries, to just the whole gamut of if you touch hospitality and how Shemeketa is stepping up to help with that as far as trainings go and classes. So looking forward to that conversation very much. Commissioner Sterrett and I yesterday attended the swearing in of a couple of new officers. I love that. Just say it over and over again. I love the sheriff and his family and how they reach out to the other families. And that's really a highlighted part of the ceremony and, you know, making it a family affair. It's something that I really appreciate. Worked through some language with Brian on the CIP proposal that we're asking for to update the radio towers. And the last little bit, a little hometown shout out to Russ Thomas. This is his last day, who has been with the city of Newburgh and is now the retired public works director. And he's been with the city for 40 years, and his wife retired as the librarian a few years ago. So really, super happy for him. He's a great guy. I think most of you guys have probably gotten to know him a little bit.
No, we welcomed him on to RIAC last year. So yeah. It'll be a good place for him.
It's a good place. I'm excited for him. So congratulations, Russ. I'm sure you're not listening, but well done.
Thank you. Commissioner Sterrett.
Thank you, Chair. We just found out the Housing Authority's Affordable Housing Corporation had a board meeting this week, and we just found out that the corporation has been awarded $1 million through the community-initiated projects. We're all watching whether our particular projects are going to be approved. The deadline for that is March 6th, but there has been a $1 million award made, I believe, a couple of weeks ago, and that's going to support the housing rehab program that Affordable Housing Corporation does. If folks have health and safety concerns about their homes and their low income, they are able to apply for this program. So there's $1 million to support the program. Currently, there are 289 families on the waiting list. The money that's been supporting this has been McMinnville Community Development Block Grants, the Oregon Healthy Homes Grants, and the Veterans Housing Grant for the military families. There's a 35-family wait list for those who are potentially eligible. Housing Rehab Home Ownership Program, there are two county foreclosed properties we've been watching over the years. The Church Street property is rehabbed, is going to be put on the market. The Ford Street property is going to be leased. The update on Stratus Village from the Housing Authority is that 63% of the units, of the 44 units, have been occupied. The wait list is 871 folks who are waiting on that. Other thing I wanted to point out was we have a very active suicide prevention coalition in the county, which brings together all the different disciplines and folks and nonprofits in the community to work on this particular issue. A shout out to our Public Works Department. They're very receptive. Received some concerns from a constituent about the CUNY road accidents, which are getting more and more dangerous. And Mark Blago has pointed out that they'd ordered some flashing speed signs that should be in place in the next few weeks. The McMinnville Hospital, Willamette Valley Medical Center, has re-upped their Health Hub Saturdays. It's the fourth Saturday of every month. They talk about childbirth clinics and car seat clinics and birth center tours. So take a look at their website. It's a really good resource for folks in the community. We've had some, obviously, if you've been watching the news, you know that in particularly in Minnesota, it's been called out for the Somali fraud, which is basically nonprofits using government funds inappropriately to the tune of about $9 billion. So understandably, folks are asking, what are our fail-safes? What are our what's the transparency? How are we making sure that the nonprofits we have contracts with are actually having fidelity to the work that they're supposed to do because they're receiving government funds? So in a discussion with our Health and Human Services Director, I wanted to focus in, for instance, on our contracts and the nonprofits, which is where a lot of this money could be used inappropriately. But there are really good fail-safes and backstops and reporting on these particular programs. So I wanted to just talk a little bit about that and say that we did have a discussion. We do have subcontracts with a variety of different nonprofits, and it looks like there are rules in place, not only with the state required reporting, but what we require. The other thing I wanted to just shout out to our county administrator, because all these ARPA grants and all these COVID grants require lots of reporting to Treasury, and it's an extremely onerous and tedious process, but we did receive federal grant compliance report that showed that everything has been done appropriately. So those federal awards for ARPA, it talks about how we received the grants, how we expended the grants, and how we spent it. So thank you to Ken Hoffer for all that. It must have not been an easy few years to do that. So thank you.
All right, thank you. Met with the Yamhill Waters Access Group in conjunction with Dayton Landing. They missed the last meeting, so we had one specific meeting for them. Discussion came up again about transfer of ownership of Dayton Landing from the county to them. So I reached out to Jeremy Cottle, and we're going to, and I'll keep you guys posted, but we'll try to arrange a joint work session so we can finally hammer out the details on this and see where everybody's at on either wanting or not wanting, and move forward. McMinnville City Council was short, and there's nothing to report from that one. In fact, it might have been the shortest one I've ever been to. I wrote a letter of support for ODOT funding. I didn't intentionally not tell you guys. It just is one of those things where, even like with your letter, it came down really quick. So I got my personal letter out. It was the same exact one, other than I updated the accidents that were happening at McDougal Interchange. And technically, it's supposed to focus on McDougal Interchange funding through, it's a $5 million ask through ODOT to Merkley, Senators Merkley and Wyden. We're supposed to focus on McDougal, but I throw in Lafayette and 18 just because they're so close. And it's a very, bypass related, those two intersections are going to be affected when we actually finally get some funding to get the completion done. So
pass one without going to the other.
That's right. So I have that letter going out. I will talk to you guys next week. I'll put one on the agenda for the full board to sign and get your guys' approval if that's the direction that we want to go. National FFA Week this week. Today of the National FFA Week is Give Back Day. So if you have a local FFA in your area, make sure you pick up the phone and ask them what you can do for them. I know I went to my local FFA Saturday morning for a pancake breakfast, and it's always really nice to connect with those guys and watch those FFA kids just watch that work ethic. It's just fantastic to see and how what those programs do for us and the kids. VFW Post 4015 has a dinner in Newburgh coming up March 3rd at 6 p.m. You can go on their Facebook page, get the address, but I think it's 200 North College or South College Street at the VFW there. But just go on their Facebook page. It's VFW Post 4015. Yamhill County Fair Ambassadors. Applications are being received, and the deadline is next Friday. So make sure you get your applications in. Last time I checked, there wasn't a whole lot of applications. So if that's something that you're interested in and you're a junior or a senior in Yamhill County, make sure you apply. Just reach out to the fair office and ask them for the details. A couple of reminders, chat with the chair is going to be next Thursday at 6 p.m. at the Government Services Building in the Mount Hood Room. And there is no Planning Commission meeting because there is nothing for the docket. And with that, Ken, do you have anything to add? We do, so once a week I'm part of the construction meetings, just to give a little update on that. We are moving right along. I'm very, very pleased with the progress there. And we actually have HHS that moved in partially last week, some Oasis team, and then now we have pretty much the rest of them are gonna be hitting it this week. So it's very exciting.
Next week, the HHS admin and then DD, the remaining and veterans is all going to relocate to the second floor.
Nice.
So yeah. The second floor of the building will be fully occupied.
Yep. So that's a really huge step. That's almost 55 or 60 employees, I think, in total that are going to move. And kudos to Haworth for really hammering that section out, knowing that we need to vacate Kirby and all these different timelines that we're trying to keep track of. So thanks to them for that. The clerk's office is coming along well. And then the third floor construction in the BOC area is coming along well. So I'm very pleased. And with that, that's all I got. I'm going to close it out at 10:42. Thank you, everybody, for coming.